So we'll begin tonight. We're in the middle of Perek Yud Daled in Melachim Beis, and we're up to switching back to the Northern Kingdom, switching back to the Malchus Yisrael. We're up to Pasuk Chav Gimel. Bishnas Chameis Esrei Shana LaAmatziyahu Ben Yoash Melch Yehuda. It was in the 15th year of Amatziyahu, the son of Yoash, the king of the south, the king of Yehuda. Malach Yoravam ben Yoash, Melech Yisrael b'Shomron, Arboim v'achas shana. Yoravam, the son of Yoash, the king of Yisrael in Shomron, ruled for 41 years.
What does it mean, Melech Yisrael b'Shomron?
Melech Yisrael means he's the king of the northern kingdom. Shomron is the current capital. Shomron was it wasn't the first capital of the north, but Achav's father, Omri, when he laid fire to the original capital to get out the previous king, he built himself a capital city called Shomron, and that has been the capital city till now. Now this Yoravam, he obviously has the same name as the original Yoravam ben Nevat, who's going to be mentioned in the next pasuk. Why the name is used? I didn't see anyone really talk about it. The fact, though, that he's king for 41 years is rather striking. He is the king who reigns the longest in Malchus Yisrael history. And if you want to compare him even to the other king, to the southern kingdom, he's tied for third place. We're going to be dealing with the king later on tonight, King Uzziah and King Azariah. They're the same individual. Azariah reigned for 52 years. In the future, we're going to deal with the king who reigned the longest was King Manasseh, was 55 years. And King Asa, who was relatively soon after Shlomo, reigned also for 41 years. So this individual, Yoravam, who is the fourth in the line that came from Yehu. Yehu was the one who led the rebellion, who killed both, not only the king of the north, but also the king of the south. So here, the fourth generation was Yoravam. He was king for 41 years, and we're going to see tonight a statement that Chazal make that perhaps answers the question: why is it that he reigned for this long, and why is it that he had the successes that he had? Pasuk Chav Daled. Vayas hara be'enei Hashem. This Yoravam is like nobody else. He is like the other kings that came before him. That he did what was ra. He did what was evil. Be'enei Hashem, in the eyes of Hashem. Lo sar mikol chatos Yoravam ben Nevat. He did not turn away from all of the sins of Yoravam ben Nevat. Asher hechti Yisrael, that he caused Klal Yisrael to sin. Again, the number one sin of Yoravam ben Nevat was not allowing the people to go to Yerushalayim, and by force at this time basically meant mandating Avodah Zarah. And so it is very serious, even though here it just says Mikol Chatos, it doesn't spell it out. But seemingly the number one issue being mentioned in this pasuk is Avodah Zarah, because that's what Yoravam and Nevat, those were his issues. When the pasuk says Lo Sar, that he didn't turn away from following the sins, it is basically telling us each and every time, and we've seen this statement a number of times, that there was an opportunity to do so. That each king ends up being judged on his own. Each king ends up being judged not based on the policies that were set by the kings that came before them, but they had an opportunity to change. They had a lot of power, and they could have changed. And the fact that they don't is then held against them, each and every one, in his own right. Pasuk Chaf Hei. Who Heshiv as Gevul Yisrael? This king, this Yoravam, he was able to return or restore the boundaries of Israel. Milvo Chamas Ad Yom Ha'arava. Milvo Chamas is the approach of the city of Chamas. The city or the area of Chamas is located in the northwest of, let's say, our modern state of Israel, meaning much more north and west than the Hermon. Ad Yom HaRava, what's the Yom HaRava? So the Yom HaRava, the Metzudas David says, it refers to Yam HaMelech.
That's not
which is striking, Because Yam HaMelech is closely associated with the lands of Yehuda, which is the southern, which is the southern kingdom. So the what might come out of this, what some of the Mefarshim might actually understand is, he was so successful at restoring the boundaries. And there's some of the secular archaeologists and secular historians that basically have found that, that during this time period, when Yeravam was leading the northern kingdom, there was a lot of upheaval in the neighboring countries. It was kind of the perfect storm to go ahead and lead revolts to get back land. The Talmud Yerushalmi in Maseches Challah has a debate. How successful was he? So there's one of the approaches in the Gemara there is that he was able to get back all of the land that Yehoshua had conquered. That Yehoshua had conquered a certain amount of land. And already during, because of, we've read about a lot of the battles that they had with Aram. Aram was their main enemy towards the north, and Hazael, the kings of the north of Aram. So he was able to extend the boundaries there. And there's another opinion in the Gemara that not only he was able, he went way beyond anything Yehoshua or even David. You know that David also expanded the boundaries. And when you talk about David's expansion of boundaries, you're also talking about lands that had to do with Yehuda, which leads some Mefarshim to understand that he was such a quote-unquote good-natured king in terms of his conquering, that he even conquered lands on behalf of Yehuda, which only a generation before there was civil war between the land, between the kingdom of the north and the kingdom of the south. And all of a sudden here, perhaps the fact that it's mentioning the Yam Arava, perhaps there was some peaceful, not necessarily negotiations, but peaceful ties between the two. So he does all this, right? You have to. This is kind of the first part of the pasuk. There's the trup under the word ha'arava. There's an asnachta. That's a pause. So it's hu heishiv es gvul Yisrael milavo chamas ad yom ha'arava. He did all that. Kid dvar Hashem elokei Yisrael, like the word of God, king of the God, like the word of God, the God of the Jews, the God of Israel, asher diber, who spoke biyad avdo, through or by the hand of his servant Yonah ben Amittai Hanavi, through Yonah the son of Amittai the prophet, Asher migas Chefer, who came from Gas Chefer. So what's going on here? So if you don't look at any Mefarshim, you just read the pasuk simply, it sounds like the fact that he was so successful in battle was part of a prophecy, that there was some form of prophecy that came to a prophet saying that this king, Yeravam, is going to be so successful. What's the name of the prophet? Yonah ben Amittai, which is the same name as the famous Navi Yonah. And so, at first blush, you would say, it's the same prophet. And one of the things that he prophesied was that this Yeravam would have great success. So there's a problem with that. What's the problem with that? So if you take a look at the source packet that I provided for you, there's a Gemara in Maseches Yevamos, in source number 1. On the first sheet, it's a Gemara in Maseches Yevamos, Daf Tzadicha Samad Aleph. Omar Mar. Mar taught. Vayhi Dvar Hashem El Yonah Shenis Lemor. I don't know if you're paying attention, Mincha time on Yom Kippur, but one of the psukim in Sefer Yonah, we read the whole Sefer on Mincha time as the Haftorah for, it's one of the only times, it's probably there are only two times the whole year that we read a whole book as the Haftorah. The other time, as I think it's Parshas Vayishlach, we read Ovadia, and Ovadia is only one parak long, so we read the whole thing. But Yonah, we also read the whole thing. So there's a pasuk in Yonah, Vayhi Dvar Hashem El Yonah Shein Eslimer, that the word of Hashem came to Yonah for a second time. So says the Gemara, Sheinis, two times, Dibra Imo Shechina, the presence of Hashem spoke to him. Shlishis, Lo Dibra Imo, a third time it did not. And the Gemara is now doing the math. This is the second pasuk in Yonah, where it says that the word, right, the opening of Yonah is that Hashem came to Yonah and told Yonah, you're supposed to go to Nineveh. Then is the whole episode with the boat and the ship and the whale and everything like that. And then Hashem speaks to Yonah again. The Gemara says, okay, that's two times. Two times must mean there's not a third time. So on the second line, the Gemara asks the question, the Haksiv, but doesn't the Pasuk say in Sefer Malachim Beis, Perg Yudalid, our Pasuk, Hu Heishev Es Gvul Yisrael Milavo Hamas Ad Yom Harava, Kidvar Hashem Asher Diber Biyad Avdo Yonah Benimitai Hanavi. Our Pasuk says the Yeravim was successful, and he was successful like Yonah prophesied. So what number would that be? That would be three. So the Gemara is bothered. So the first answer of the Gemara is rather technical, and you would almost maybe say if it was only for this answer of the Gemara, maybe I wouldn't mention the question because it doesn't really change our understanding. The second answer is going to give us an addition to what we would call the simple interpretation of the pasuk. The second answer is going to provide us an additional level of understanding what our pasuk means. So Amar Ravina, Ravina is the first answer. Al iske ninve ka'amar. It means when it says Hashem spoke to him for a second time, and the Gemara deduces it was only two times and not three. It means on the topic of Ninve. There are only two times that God ever came to Yonah about Ninve. But there's an open book. It's a blank check. How many times did Hashem come to Yonah for other things? We don't necessarily know. It's not restrictive. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak Amar, the second answer in the Gemara, in the next paragraph, Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak Amar, he says, Hachi Kamar. This is what it means to say. Ki, focusing on the letter Chaf. Ki Dvar Hashem Asher Diber Biad Avdo Hanavi. We're making a comparison. Yonah did not necessarily have a prophecy about Yeravam and about this time. But the Navi is using an example. Kishem shenapach leninve meira letova. Just like there was a v'nahafachu, right? Tonight's already Rosh Chodesh Adar Aleph. Still Shvat, but it's Rosh Chodesh Adar. There was a v'nahafachu of Ninve, that Ninve was on the road for being destroyed, but then they went ahead and did tshuva. So they went, there was a napach l'ninve meira l'tova. Things went from bad to good. Kach bimei Yeravam ben Yoash, napach l'am l'Yisrael meira l'tova. It was during the time of Yeravam that things got well. That all the lands that had been captured by Aram were restored. He restored the boundaries. Again, like the Gemara and the Yerushalmi and Chal is saying, he might have extended the boundaries more than ever before in Jewish history and had never seen again. With the boundaries that we have of the land of Israel today, of the modern state of Israel, is nowhere close to what David was able to conquer. And definitely, if this Maimer in the Talmud Yerushalmi is talking about going past there, you're talking about extending way north into Lebanon and northwest into Syria and west into just Jordan and south into the Sinai Peninsula. And so, Napach, there's a hipuch, there's a turning of events. So that means this, according to this statement in the Gemara, the second answer of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, the way to read our pasuk is it's understanding that there was no nevuah about this. There was no nevuah about this. And we focus on the chaf. A lot of times, when it comes to learning, not necessarily so much, you don't see it so much in Chumash or in Navi. A lot of times it comes to learning, When there's a letter chaf, we always focus, how much is it like? Is it really, if you're trying to compare two things, is it really like the second thing? Is it only somewhat like it? So here, perhaps the idea is that that there was no such prophecy. That is, there is an approach for that. Now, let's say you want to take a literalist approach. Let's say you are a purist, right? Let's say you're Ravina. You're the other opinion in the Gemara here where it says, yeah, in Yonah, it says that Hashem came to talk. In Sefer Yonah, it says Hashem came for a second time. That was about Ninveh. It is possible to read the psukim that there was a prophecy. What was the prophecy? So if you recall, we didn't mention Yonah by name explicitly. But when Elisha Hanavi was charged with anointing Yehu as the king and inspiring him to lead a rebellion and kill the sitting king of the north, he was supposed to go and anoint him. That was something that actually Eliyahu was told by Hashem, that you're supposed to anoint Yehu. Eliyahu passed that mission on to his student, Elisha. And Elisha was too old to do it. So he sent one of his students. And all we never had him by name. We just had him as a Navi, Nishalokim, a Bnei Anivim, one of the disciples. And the Mefarshim said, who was it? It was Yonah ben Amittai. And we said that there. So it could very well be that as that prophet was talking to Yehu, that prophet, who the Mefarshim say was Yonah, told Yehu that you will have the throne, four generations that come after you will be able to sit on the throne. And here, in the time of Yeravam, that was coming true. So it could be it's a reference to just that original prophecy of that he'll just have it, not necessarily that there'll be a success, but there'll be a dynasty. And for Malchus Yisrael to have a dynasty that goes that many generations, that in and of itself is an accomplishment. There is also a possibility that there was another prophecy about the success, that he would have success in expanding expanding the borders. Okay. So that's, and we don't hear more about Yonah here. So that definitely, you know, it gives a little bit, you would imagine if there was a new prophecy of Yonah coming to tell the king something that he's going to be successful, it might have been spoken about. So these are the various approaches. Pasuk Chaf Vav. So right in your minds right now, everyone should be bothered by a question. We don't know much about this Yeravam, but we know two things right now. The first pasuk that told us about him said he did what was bad in the eyes of God, and the next pasuk says he was super duper successful. So something's off. Something's off. So let's hear the pasukim. Pasuk Chaf Vav. Ki ra Hashem es ani Yisrael mora me'od. Hashem had seen the suffering of Israel. Mora me'od. Here the article translates it as very severe. Very, so someone says bitter. So bitter would be milashon mar. The Mitzudas Tzion says mora Milashon Tamura Vichilov, something like being switched, something like an upheaval. That there was, it was not until that, at that point in time, things were not stable. Klal Yisrael was not stable. And the next phrase is somewhat of a cryptic phrase. We've seen it before. But again, I believe that maybe even the reason why there's a cryptic phrase, it hints to the upheaval. The cryptic phrase is the Efes Atzur, the Efes Azuv. Ve'ein ozer liYisrael. Efes atzur v'esef efes azuv. It might be a reference to different types of property and possessions, those which are hidden and those which are open and public, and that the phrase being it gives that there was no security, whether your possessions were hidden or whether your possessions were open, whether it was the car that you had in the driveway or the Swiss bank account that you have hidden away, nothing was really safe at that time for Klal Yisrael. And the pasuk concludes with Ve'ein Ozer LeYisrael. There was no helper for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael was not in a very good place. And this is obviously focusing on the northern kingdom. Pasuk Chaf Zayin. Velo diber Hashem limchos es shem Yisrael mitachas hashamayim. And Hashem did not say to erase the name of Yisrael from under the heavens. Vayoshiyein biyad Yeravim ben Yoash. So he saved them through Yeravim ben Yoash. It does not sound really so comforting. Now, when you pause for a second to think about this pasuk, you would say to yourself, why is it that Hashem is telling, why is it the Navi is saying, the lo diber Hashem limchos Hashem Yisrael? Hashem wasn't talking about, he wasn't entertaining the idea of erasing Klal Yisrael from existence. The implication is that that's on the table? Meaning we always think that there's a nitzchias to Klal Yisrael. So as harrowing as it sounds and horrific, in terms of the idea of some part of Klal Yisrael continuing, so yeah, there's always going to be a Klal Yisrael. But it could very well be that there's a seed here to telling us, or telling and speaking to the kingdom of the north at the time, that right now Kadosh Baruch Hu was willing to kind of be a Baal Chesed, extend, be what we call a Kadosh Baruch Hu is an Erech Apayim. It's one of his attributes of mercy. One of the Yud Gimel Midos Harachmim is Erech Apayim. He's Erech from the language of long or slow to get angry. He's got a lot of patience, but the patience can run up. And for the Malchus Yisrael, we know it does run up. The Malchus Yisrael is, and again, we'll have to deal with that when we get there in a couple of prakim. It's not that long away. But that the fact that the pasuk could say, and now Hashem velo diber Hashem limchos Hashem Yisrael mitach Hashemayim. It sounds like it's a havamin. It sounds like it's a hypothesis. It could have been. Oh, by this time, Hashem didn't want to do that. But what about in the future? Correct. There seems to be a build up. Now, the question we still have to ask ourselves is why Yeravam? Meaning, it could have been the king that comes right after him. Why, and goes back to the original question I asked of why did he get to lead for 41 years, which is rather significant. So in all of his following in the Ra, there is a shining light that Chazal have on this Yeravam. If you take a look at your source sheets that I gave out, in source number 2, which is the Gemara Maseches Psachim, Daf Pei Zayin Amid Beis. So what happens is it's starting to get a little bit complicated, because the kings that are mentioned in Malachim are also starting to be mentioned in other Svarim of Tanakh. And it's a little bit challenging to have your pulse on multiple Svarim. So Yeravam is mentioned in the book of Amos. And there it says, and it's also mentioned in some other Sifrei Nach. So here's a question. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, Mitnei ma zacha Yeravam ben Yoash melch Yisrael limanos im malchei Yehuda. For what reason did Yeravam ben Yoash, who was a king of Yisrael, what reason did he merit to be mentioned and counted along with the kings of Yehuda? There's a pasuk in Tanakh, we don't have it in front of us, where after mentioning 4 kings of Malchus Yehuda, it also mentions Yeravam's name in the next pasuk. And so the Gemara is saying, what did he do, this Ovid of Avodah Zarah, this, you know, I'm embellishing, but this Ovid of Avodah Zarah, the one who did what was evil in the eyes of Hashem, what did he do to deserve to be mentioned with, in comparison, the much more righteous kings of Malchus Yehuda? Answer, Mipnei shelo kibel lashon hara al Amos. Because he did not accept lashon hara about the Navi Amos. Minalon de'imni. Basically, how do we know this? Dichsiv. Because the pasuk says, Daber Hashem Asher Hoya El Hoshea Ben Be'eri. When it came time for Hoshea's prophecy, Hoshea is the first of the Treasar. Hoshea, the son of Be'eri, and he was a prophet. Who did he prophesize? This is part of showing it off. This is the pasuk that was being referred to. He prophesied Bimei Uzziah, in the days of Uzziah, who's a king of Yisrael, who we'll get to, a king of Yehuda, who we'll get to, Yosam, who's also a king of Yehuda, Achaz, who's a king of Yehuda, Yechizkiah, who's Chizkiyahu, a king of Yehuda, Malch Yehuda, Uvime Yeravam ben Yoash Melch Yisrael. Fine. So this is the pasuk that he was counted. The question, where was he counted along with the king? So that was in the beginning of the book of Hosea. Uminalan de lo kiba lashon hara. How do we know that this Yeravam did not accept lashon hara? Dechsiv, because the pasuk says in Sefer Amos, Vayishlach Amatzia, Kohen Beit El. There was someone named Amatzia, who's very similar to the name Amatzia that we recently had, but he was a false Kohen. He was a priest to the Beis El. Beis El was the house of Avodah Zarah. So this Amatzia sent El Yeravam, he sent to Yeravam, Melch Yisrael, Lemor, Kesher Alecha, he sent him that evil report that Amos is prophesying against him. Amos, who is a Navi, is prophesying against the king, Yeravam. Uksiv, kicho amar Amos, becherev yimos Yeravam. That he sent back to the king that you got to take care of this Navi, because this Navi is prophesizing that you should be killed. And the truth of the matter is that Amos was prophesizing. He wasn't prophesizing about Yeravam, he was prophesizing about Yeravam's dynasty. That Yeravam's dynasty would not last, which does come true. So here you have, right, here you have the Rasha, the one who does evil in the eye of Hashem. What's his response? It's this response that Chazal paint him in a proper light. Omar, I'm on the second to last line in source 2, in the middle. Omar, Yeravam said, Chas v'shalom amar oso tzadik kach. God forbid, Chas v'shalom, this tzadik said something like this. I'm not in the Kabbalah, I don't accept. This is like textbook out of a Lashon Hara book, right? I don't believe it. It can't be that such a tzadik would say such a thing. V'im amar, and if he did say such a thing, ma'eselo, what should I do to him? Shechina amrelo, he's a Navi. He's saying what Hashem wants to say. I can't do anything. You can't do anything? Imagine, you know, Achav and Izevel, if they took that approach, Eliyahu would have felt like a safe man. So on the one hand, he's an Ovid of Avodah Zarah. On the one hand, the Pasuk says he followed in the ways of Yeravam ben Nevat. And on the other hand, Chazal point out this Medrash that he was unwilling to accept Lashon Hara. And he was ready to say, if this person said it, Amos, he's a Navi, he speaks the word of Hashem. Hashem, the true Hashem, there's nothing for me to argue. I can't touch him, hands off. This is considered to be the limud zchus for Yeravam. What can be pointed out is that a slight difference, and again, it is a little challenging, and I think it's only become more challenging, I have to admit to the challenge. You have to really to do it as well as it should be done, and I try to do it well. But I think to do it well, you'd probably have to put in a lot, many hours into these other svarim to match up everything that's going on. Specifically, when we get to the next king, the next couple of kings of Yehuda has a lot to do with going on in Sefer Yeshaya. Sefer Yeshaya is 66 prakim long of serious navi. So it is a little. We're going to try our best to give the honest and the MS approach. But so if you look through Sefer Amos, so what's pointed out is that in Amos, the sin of Yeravam doesn't seem to be focused around Avodah Zarah, even though that's what seems to be mentioned here in Melachim. But the negative thing that seems to come up again and again in Sefer Amos is that this prosperity created, some might say it goes on in countries today, it created a very big divide between the very wealthy and the very poor. The wealthier seemingly got only wealthier, and the poor got only poorer. And there was a lot of oppression that was taking place, that the rich people were taking advantage of the poor and just becoming more rich and making the poor become more poor. That seems to be, time and again, what's taking place throughout the Pesukim. And there's almost a sense of like, it comes from a sense of haughtiness, which we'll see, that might have been happening also in the Malchus Yehuda at the time. But the destruction that eventually comes his way, he played a large role in. This 41-year reign, when things were going very, very well, it was an opportunity that was really missed. Because this could have been a time, right? If you're such a successful king, and you have you're right, when people are financially happy, so they're happy with the king. And if the boundaries are only expanding and business opportunities are only growing, everyone should be financially secure. That is an opportune time for a tshuva movement. Meaning, as long as everything's good, what's the matter with doing a little bit of tshuva? What's the matter with opening up the roads to Yerushalayim, allowing people to go to Beis Hamikdash? If anything, people are going to start joining. If things are so good in the north, maybe people from the south will join you. And so it was an opportunity that unfortunately was missed. And it's probably, again, I haven't done the research enough yet. We'll get there. But this might be the most stable the country is before it really unravels and really heads towards Sancheriv finally coming and exiling the entire kingdom of the north. So it's sad, and we've seen it before, that there was an opportunity and a missed opportunity. Pasuk Chavches, back in Malachim Beis. V'yeser divrei Yeravam, the other aspects of Yeravam's time as king, v'chol asher asa gvuraso, everything that he did in his might, ashal nilcham, that he fought, again mentioning battles, v'asher heshev es damasek, he returned Damascus, which was the large city of Aram, v'yes chamas Yehuda, and the city of Chamos for Yehuda, B'Yisrael, in Israel. Halohim Ksuvim, all of his affairs are written down. Al Sefer Divrayam al-Malchi Yisrael, to the Book of Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. Again, a Sefer that we mention each time, but we no longer have access to. Pasuk Chavtes. Vayishkav Yeravam imavosav, he lied with his fathers, he passed away in Malchi Yisrael with the other kings of Israel. Vayimloch Zecharia b'no Tachtov. His son Zecharia became king after him, and we'll see Zechariah ends up being the last king in the dynasty of Yehu. Zechariah ends up being the last king in the dynasty of Yehu. So that finishes Perek Yudalid, and we move back to the begin. Perek Tesvav goes back, which we'll start now, goes back to the kingdom of the south. So now we're going back to the kingdom of the south, to the kingdom of Yehuda, where we're going to see only about 7 psukim that relate to the next king, and we're left with a lot of missing information. And we'll have to turn back to Divrei Hayamim to kind of fill in some of the gaps. So Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Aleph now. Bishnas Esrim v'sheva shana, Liyaravam Melch Yisrael, Malach Azaria ben Amatzia Melch Yehuda. In the 27th year of Yeravam being king of the north, Azaria, the son of Amatzia, ruled in Yehuda. So right away, all the Mefarshim say that this pasuk, there's no way for this pasuk to be understood literally, because, definitely according to Rashi, when you do the math, Yeravam and this Azariah became king at the same time. They became king at the same time. So how is it that we're telling now it's in the 27th year of Yeravam that this Azariah began being king? And so what they explain is that there was an event, a significant event that took place in the 27th year of being king. And that's what's being highlighted here. And we'll see what that event is. But that there's a hint in this pasuk that in the 27th year of being king, something shifted for this Azariah. I will say now, Azariah, and I think I mentioned it once before, Azariah is also known by another name, Uziah, or Uziyahu. I have not yet seen someone explain why that is, why he has two names. There are some, I don't know if this is at all in our Masorah, but there are some who think that his name was Azariah, and somehow it got corrupted into being Uziah. They mean separate things. Uziah means like, Uzi is my strength, Yah, Hashem is my strength. Azariah means Hashem is my help. It's similar, but it's not exactly the same. I haven't seen anyone on these pages talk about it. I looked up some of the psukim in Divrei Hayamim. So if anyone for homework, if anyone finds a significant reason to explain why he's known by two names, then you'll share it with us next time. In Malachim, he's known as Azariah. In Divrei Hayamim, we're going to see him as Uziah. That's just the way it is. And some reason on the king, like in the back of the art score, it has like the king charts to tell you who the kings are. So the first name is Uzziah, and on the bottom it says also, you know, AKA, also known as Azariah. So I don't know. Maybe since there's more written about him as Uzziah, because there's more written in Divrei Hayamim, but that's not a real reason. So here's the new king. His name is, we'll call him Azariah now, because his name is Azariah. Here, Pasuk Beis. Ben Sheses Reishana Haya B'malcho. This is something that we heard before, that he was 16 years old when he began his reign. V'chamishim u'shtayim shana malcho Yerushalayim. For 52 years, he was the king in Yerushalayim. We'll see, this gets a little mitigated. Right now it sounds gross. 52 years, that's the biggest number we've seen so far. It gets mitigated, and we'll see. V'shemimo, the name of his mother, Yechalyahu Mirushalayim. The name of his mother was Yechalyahu, and she was from Yerushalayim. Why we're told his age again is because here is where, you know, here's where we're being introduced to him formally. Pasuk Gimel. Vayas HaYasher B'nei Hashem. Ah, that's refreshing. Vayas HaYasher B'nei Hashem. He did what was straight in the eyes of Hashem. K'chol Asher Asa Amatziyahu Aviv. Like everything his father Amatziah did. Amatziah was someone who in the beginning of his life was proper, and it was at the end of his life was not proper. Right now we're saying he did like Amatziah, which unfortunately seems to really, once we read the story in Divrei Hayamim, it seems to be that he was really like his father, that he started out on the good and straight, and then towards the end of his life, not so much the end, towards the middle of his life, he took a wrong turn. Pasuk Dalet, however, Rak habamos lo saru. Seems every king of Malchus Yehuda does not have this ability to stop the people from having the private mizbeichos. He did not remove the private mizbeach. And the people were still offering karbanos and offering incense on these private mizbeichos. Again, at this point, we're saying it was still serving Hashem, but it wasn't serving Hashem. It wasn't serving Hashem because it's against halacha. To bring a karban outside the Beis HaMikdash is against halacha. It's very nice that you think you're worshiping Hashem, but that's not true avodas Hashem. Pasuk Hey. So here, right? If we take and it's a little easier here because unless we reviewed the story very recently, we're not familiar with the story. It sounds like he's a good king. Okay, so he can't get rid of the bamos, but neither could most of the good kings couldn't get rid of these private mizbechos. Out of nowhere, Pasuk Hey. Vayinaga Hashem es Hamelech, vayhi mitzora arayomoso. Hashem inflicted him with tzaras, and he became a mitzor. He became a halachic leper until the day that he died. Rashi says this is the event that happened in the 27th year. This is why the pasuk is phrased in such a weird way. Something changed on that day when he got tzaras. Pasuk continues, Vayesha bebeis hachafshis. He dwelled in a house of the chafshis. Chafshis means freedom. I imagine this is the original original source of the word chofesh. Chofesh is vacation in modern Hebrew. So the Metzudas David says very insightfully, he couldn't be king anymore. He couldn't act as king because of the tzaras. And so he was free from all the responsibility and the effort needed to be king. He said that there's a statement of Chazal that malchus is considered avdus, that being a melech is work. Because of all the responsibilities, all the things you have to put in, and so I mean this is what Chazal say about Malchus. I once heard that I think it might have been Rabbi Leo Young, who was a rabbi in the Jewish Center in Manhattan many moons ago, that he said that the job of a rabbi is to be an eved la'ovde Hashem. That sometimes the job of a rabbi is like an eved, but you're at least an eved lo'ovdei Hashem. So So here, what does it mean that he was free now? He couldn't be acting as king. It might have been that since he had Tsaras, the person who has Tsaras has to be isolated. There's an idea of being isolated, and maybe he had to be specifically while the laws of Tsaras, when Klal Yisrael was in the desert, the idea of being isolated was very clear.
Very
clear that it had to be a complete isolation from the camp. Once they come into Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed into the city of Yerushalayim. And so since he's the king and he lived in Yerushalayim, he had to be outside Yerushalayim. So they had to build him a dwelling place outside of Yerushalayim. And the pasuk continues, V'yosam ben hamelech al habayis. His son Yosam was put on the put over the house, shofet es am ha'aretz, and he judged the people. He didn't take on the title as king. His father was still officially the king, and everything that he did was kind of in the name of his father. But he acted as the king. The Radak says, quotes a Gemara, that this Yosam, he was only born the year that Azariah got the Tsaras. So which means, so the Radak explains, it must mean that the king was put into this isolation. There must have been some type of council that led the country under the, you know, whether they ran things by the king or not, we don't know. And then when this son Yosam came of age, you know, how old, we're not necessarily sure.
13.
We're sure?
No, I'm sure.
Oh, we're guessing. Educated guess. So then he started ruling.
There was king. He became king at 8.
Right, we had 7. We had 7 years old. We had King Yoash. Mm-hmm. Yoash of Melech Yehuda, we had him at age 7. But you read these psukim here in Sefer Melachim, and if you're not reading, if you have footnotes on the bottom and you're not reading them, you're asking the question, why do you get Tsaras for? Things were going well. It said he did was Yosher in the eyes of Hashem. Right? If I gave you a choice, the last two kings, right? Should Yeravam get Tsaras, or should, right, if I was reading this with my 6-year-old at home, should Yeravam get the Tsaras, or should Azariah get the Tsaras? It would be, of course, Yeravam should get the Tsaras. And yet we see that it is actually Azariah who gets the Tsaras. And so the question is, why? Why does he go ahead and get the Tsaras? So let's take a look now in the source packet. What we need to do is we need to come to the Psukim in Sefer Divrei Hayamim. Sefer Divrei Hayamim, Perek, Divrei Hayamim Beis, if you're following at home, Divrei Hayamim Beis, Perek Chavav, Pasuk Gimel. We could start with Pasuk Gimel. Ben Sheish Esrei Shana Uziyahu B'malcha. Uziyahu, same person as Azariah, you'll see because everything else matches up. He was 16 when he became king. V'chamishu M'shtayim Shana Malch B'Yushalayim. He ruled for 52 years in Yushalayim. V'shem Imo Yechal Yom in Yushalayim. Vayasa Yasher Bein Hashem, Kachal Asher Asa Matzyav. Same language as our Pasuk. He did what was straight in the eyes of Hashem, just like his father. Now we see something positive, even more positive than just doing what's Yashar, Pasuk Hey. Vayhila Drosh Elokim. He would search out God, Bimei Zechariyahu, during the days of Zechariyahu, who was some type of spiritual guide for him. Hamevin Beros Elokim, who had an understanding in the vision of God, perhaps levels of Nivua. Uvimei Darsho Es Hashem, and it was in his days he sought out Hashem, Hitzlichu Elokim. When he was seeking out Hashem, when he was following the ways of Hashem, what was his reward? Hatzlacha. Hatzlacha. We just read about a king in the north who had great Hatzlacha. Same time, there was a king in the south having great Hatzlacha. Listen to this. Again, why the information is left out of Sefer Melachim? We're going to have to say that Y is a crooked letter and you can't make it straight. I don't have a good approach because this seems to be very valuable. Pasuk Vav. Vayetze, he went out. Vayilachim ba'plishtim, he fought against the plishtim who were an enemy on the coast to the east. Vayifrotz etzchomatz Gas, etzchomatz Yavne, etzchomatz Ashdod. He broke through the walls of the city of Gad and Yavne and Ashdod. Vayivne arim, he built cities by Ashdod, by plishtim, by Ashdod and amongst the plishtim. Vayazrehu Elokim, and Hashem helped him. Ala plishtim, against the plishtim. Vala aravim, and against the Arabians. Hayoshvim begur Baal uba'amonim, that lived in Gurbal and Meunim. Vayitnu ha'amonim mincha, during his days, the kingdom of Ammon would give tributes, Luziyahu, to Uziyahu. It was like they were some type of vassal state that would give their taxes or their tributes to this Uziyahu. Vayilech shmo alavo Mitzrayim, and his name spread all the way towards the entrance of Egypt. He hechzik ad lamala, he was extremely strong, extremely strong. Vayiven Uziyahu migdalim b'Yerushalayim, he built towers in Yerushalayim. Uziyahu. This is Uziyah. Okay.
Going way back, before your time.
Before my time. There's a song about Uziyahu. And why'd they make the song?
Because it
was about fortifying Yerushalayim.
It was good words.
Right.
And it was a dance.
Okay. That always makes it good.
That makes it good.
All right. So we need to do some research about this song that comes from Divrei Hayamim. Perichava. Did you know it came from Divrei Hayamim? Okay. Okay. Now we see. It used to be even the songs in Israel came from Tanakh. That was okay. So we need to do some research. Okay. Now we have a research project. We have to figure out who wrote the song. What was the motivation? Vayiven Uziyahu migdalim b'Yerushalayim. He built towers in Yerushalayim. Al shar ha'pina. On the corner gate, Val Shara Gai, and the valley gate, Vala Miktsoa, Vayichaz came and he fortified them. Vayichaz came and he fortified them. He had a certain vision. It seems that he, you know, in the past, Yerushalayim had been attacked. Even only recently, when there was that battle between the north and the south, so the king of the north came and he breached the wall of Yerushalayim. So he had it in him to fortify. Vayivin Migdalim Bamidbar, he built towers in the desert. Probably as fortresses, as forts. Vayachtsov boros rabim, and he had many cisterns. Ki miknerav, he had a lot of cattle, so you have to have water. But he was a visionary. He saw he needed to properly give them drink. He had miknerav hayelo. Ubashvelo bamishar, in the lowlands. Ikarim v'chormim, he had vineyards. He had baharim of a carmel. He had everything. And here he's called something which no king has ever been called. Ki ohev adamahaya. He was a lover of agriculture. He was a lover of the land. And he worked the land. He had a lot of infrastructure. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayihilu Uziyahu chayel osei milchama. Yotzei tzava l'gdud. He had an army. B'mispar p'kudasam b'yad yiel. Hasofer umaasehu sayahu hashoter al yad chananehu chananyahu misare hamelech. He had different people in charge. What were the number? Kol mispar rashei ovos, the heads of the houses of the soldiers. Liyabar echayel al payim v'sheish mios. He had 2,600 heads. Val yadim, who were they in control of? Chel tzva shlosh meos elef, 300,000. V'shiva salafim, and 7,000. V'chamesh meos, and 500. Osei milchama, they would go ahead and do battle. B'ko achayel, with a strong strength. La'azar ha'melech ala oyev, to help the king against the enemies. He kind of, we're painting him as the king who had it all. Pasig yadalid. Vayachen lahem Uziyahu l'chol tzvava. He prepared them for all battles. Maginim with shields, urimachim and spears, v'chovaim and helmets, v'shir yonos and armor, ukshasos and bows, ula'avne klayim and stones for slinging. They had everything. And listen to this. This maybe is the most advanced, perhaps, for his time. Vayas b'Yerushalayim chishbonos machsheves choshev. He invented things in Yerushalayim liyos al migdalim valapinos that could be on top of the towers and the corners. Liro b'chitzim, some type of invention that would throw arrows. Non-man.
To shoot
arrows. And not, meaning not classic, not a man just sitting on the top and pulling a bow, but some type of mechanism, a catapult, uvavanim gadol, so he could shoot out stones. Vayete shmo ad lemerachok, his name spread far. He afli lehazer ad kichazak, he was so strong. And it was at that point that his downfall seemed to come. Pasuk Tazayin. U kechez kaso. And as he became strong, gava libo ad lahashchis. His heart became so haughty. His heart became so lifted until it reached his destruction. Vayim al, and he trespassed b'Hashem Elokav, against Hashem, his God. Vayavo al Heichal Hashem, he came into the Beis HaMikdash. He came into the Heichal. The Heichal is the part of the Beis HaMikdash that has the menorah, that has the shulchan, that no one besides, only Kohanim are allowed to go in. And why did he come there? Vayavo al Heichal Hashem, lahakdir al mizbeach haktoras. He wanted to go ahead and offer up the ketoras. He wanted to offer the ketoras. He wanted to bring the incense offering on the mizbeach. It's not right. It's not proper. It's not allowed. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vayavo acharav Azaryahu HaKohen. Apparently, we cannot have unique names. So while Uziah in Malachim is known as Azariah, in Divrei Hayamim, Azariah is the Kohen. It's not me. You're reading it. It's black on white. Ask Ezra HaSofer what he did this for. This is just true. Everyone had similar names. Vayavo acharav Azariah HaKohen. So Azariah came. V'imo Kohanim LaHashem. Shmona bnei Chayil. He had 80 Kohanim along with him. You have to imagine that this is not such an easy moment for them. Pasuk Yudches. Vayamdu al Uziyahu haMelech. They stood up against Uziyahu. Vayomer lo, and they said to him, Lo lecha Uziyahu lahakdir laHashem. This is not for you, Uziyahu, to bring the incense to Hashem. Ki laKohanim bnei Aaron hamukdashim lahakdir. It's for the Kohanim, the sons of Aaron, to do this. Tzei min hamikdash kimo'alta. Leave the temple, for you have trespassed. V'lo lecha lechavod me'Hashem Elokim. And this is not for you an honor. This is not what you should be doing. Pasuk Yates. Vayizaf. Uziyahu got angry. Uviyado mikteres lahakdir. He was already holding in his hand the shovel, the ketores, to do the incense. Vizapo makohanim, and it was as he got angry at the Kohanim, Vahatsaras Zarcha b'mitzcho. All of a sudden the tsaras sprouted on his forehead. Lifnei Kohanim b'Beis Hashem, before the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. Me'alam Mizbeach Ketores, right next to the Mizbeach of the Ketores. Vayifan alav Azaryahu Kohen Rosh v'chol Kohanim. So the Kohen Gadol turned to him with the other Kohanim. Vinehu mitzora. Mitzcho, he had this taras coming on his forehead, and they quickly recognize what it is. Someone with taras is not allowed to be. They're not allowed to be in the Beis HaMikdash. Vayavhiluhu misham. So they started chasing him from there. V'gamhu nitchaf latzeis, and he realized something's up, so he ran out. Ki nigo Hashem had attacked him. So now we know why. Now we know why he got the tzaras. It is very fitting, as Mrs. David just mentioned, the fact that he's punished with something that Kohanim have to be the one to recognize. We know that tzaras, well, I mean, we'll have it in a couple of weeks when we get to the parsha, but tzaras is not a physical disease that you go to a doctor for. It's a spiritual disease that you have to go to the Kohen for. And you could be the biggest Talmud Chacham and study, there's a Masechta called Maseches Negaim. You can learn all the rules and regulations, but if you're not a Kohen, you can teach Kohanim, But you know, but you can't actually look at a person who has tsaras and determine whether they have or have don't have tsaras. So the fact that it's that he receives that, it seems to be quite divinely poetic that he receives tsaras. And the idea is why perhaps does he get the tsaras specifically in addition to that? So if you take a look at the last sheet on the sources, which is source number 3 on the last page, so this is the Gemara Maseches Erchin on Daf Tazayin Amud Aleph, where the Gemara discusses Amar Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Amar Reb Yochanan Al Shiva Dvarim Negaim Ban. There are actually 7 averos that the result of which could be getting a nega, getting tsaras. Most famous is the first one mentioned, Al Lashon Hara. But there are others. Look at the Gemara here. Al Lashon Hara, that's one. Al Shvichas Damim, it could be a punishment for murder. Not murder that's caught by witnesses with warning, because that the Beis Din can put to death. But let's say you're not caught. Val Shvua Shav, swearing falsely. Val Gila Arayas, on adultery. Val Gasos HaRuach, and on being haughty. Val Agezel, on stealing. Val Tsaras HaAyin, being too miserly. And then what the Gemara does is the Gemara takes each of these 7 and says, oh, this sin was done, this sin is a sin you get Lashon Hara for because we see someone did it and they got tsaras. Sorry. This sin is something you get tsaras for. So what's the example on the third line? Val gasas haruach. So how does the Gemara prove that for being haughty you get tsaras? Dichtiv. V'chichaz kaso gavalibo ad lahashtas vayimol ba'ashem elokav. It proves it from Uziyahu. Uziyahu got gaivadik, says gava libo, and what was his punishment? Tsaras. That's how the Gemara proves that one of the punishments given for being a bal gaiva is tsaras. There's a fascinating, we'll just end with this, with a medrash, there's a fascinating medrash tanchuma found in Parashas Noach, where the medrash talks about, it's source number 4 on the sheets, where it says, ki ohe v'adama haya. We said that he was a lover of agriculture. Shahaya Melech, the Hifkir Atzmo La Adama. He totally let himself go to the Adama. The Lo Nizkak La Torah. He was not bound by the Torah. Yom Echad Nizkak La Beis Avad. There was one day that the king, and he's talking about Uziyah, he came into the Beis Medrash. Omar Lohem, and he said to them, Bama Atem Oskim. What are you learning about? Amrulo, they told him, Bahazar HaKarev Yumas. Pasuk says that a czar, a non-Kohen, is not allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash. You could be the biggest tzaddik, the biggest, the Gadol Hadar, if you're not a Kohen, you can't go in to the Beis HaMikdash. Omar Lahem Uziyah. So Uziyah said to them, really? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Melech. God is a king. Ba'ani Melech. And I'm a king. Na Lemelech L'shamesh Pnei Melech L'haktir L'fanav. What's befitting before the king is that a king should come and serve and do the ketores in front of him. Miyad, immediately, vayavol heichal Hashem, he decided to go to the ketores. And the answer is that the haughtiness, the power, it corrupted him. It got to him. And avodas Hashem, first and foremost, even when you're a king, is to follow exactly what Hashem wants from you. Is to do what Hashem wants from you. And he lacked that. And he made a mistake. And he blurred the, there's a reason why we have a Kohen and we have a Melech. Right? Even in the Parsha, if this is Parsha's Truma, there's Moshe Rabbeinu who has the role of Melech, kind of. And there's Aaron who has the role of Kohen. And the two don't mix. They have separate roles that need, and they can't mix. Right? When they do mix in Bayis Sheni, when the Kohen takes over the Malchus, it's also bad. It's bad in both directions. And that's why he was given the affliction of Tzaras. So I just want to finish the last two psukim in Melachim Beis. Melachim Beis back there, Parak Tazvav, Pasuk Vav, it's just the two normal, regular ending psukim. V'yeser divrei Azaryahu, v'chol asher asa, everything that King Azaryahu, who's Uziyah, did, Haleim k'suvim al sefer divrayam al malch Yehuda, they're written in that book of Chronicles. Vayishkav Azaryah mavosav, he died. Vayikbaru oso, they buried him mavosav with his fathers, Be'er David. Vayimloch Yosam benotachtav, his son Yosam took over for him. But when the pasuk says that he died and they buried him, it says in Divrei Yamim, it says they buried him b'tzdei hakvura, in the field of burial. He amru mitzorahu. They didn't even want to bury him with the regular kings. In 1931, a tablet was found saying this is the burial site of Uzziah. Like, do not touch. When they aged the type of writing it is, so it came out to around the year 70, almost around the time of, it sounded like the end of Bayesheni, which is 700 years after the death of Uzziah. So they're not sure if it was really old, it happens to look the same, or maybe it was just a replica that was made. They know for sure it's at least 2,000 years old. It's just not 2,700 years old. But again, the fact that it maybe said, do not touch, maybe that had to do with the fact that he had saras. He was treated, even in death, treated a little different. And Bez Hashem, next time, we will continue.